Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, Living the Dream, since 2015. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Wait, does the math check out on that?
I don't think it does. Maybe
first
it does.
Episode, July 4th, 2015.
Wow. Ray celebrates the anniversary every year by buying a bottle of champagne and three roses. And he waits for us, Chan, and we've never showed up.
Wait a minute, did he buy himself a rose?
Yeah, one for each of us.
Yeah, but
you missed the fourth rose for Sergeant Slaughter, who also doesn't show up. Sense.
No, it's so that like he buys champagne, he buys three champagne glasses and three roses, and then he lights a fire in his fireplace, and then he sits and he waits until the fire burns down and the champagne has gone flat and the roses are wilted.
Okay, first off, it's Prosecco, not champagne. Second off, there is a moment when I wistfully stare at the fireplace and my wife, she says, "Aren't you going to go to bed?" And I turn to her and I go, "They'll be here this time. I swear it." And then it never happens. It is very sad. Yes.
This fills my heart with joy. I'm not used to that feeling.
What's extra awkward about it is it's on July 4th, a day traditionally Robert Clark Chan is at my house already.
Also, the sound of fireworks rumbles through the house pretty consistently till about 2 a.m.
So after they leave, I light the fireplace, pull out, because I assume you'll all be back again.
Right.
And then July 5th is upon us.
Feels like it's asking a little much, but.
It might, you know what? Now that I think about it, it might be too much. Yeah. Why did I put that on July 4th? Oh, yeah. So I would remember. Anyway, who are you people?
Who are any of us, really?
Oh, my God. We're going to have one of those episodes,
Gina,
folks.
Ippolito. Yeah. Gina Potato Head Kid Ippolito.
Gina Potato Butts. All she could come up with.
Listen, can I just say Potato Head is like a real misnomer because it's not just the head that's a potato.
It's a potato torso as well.
Yeah, although I guess it's possible that they have no torso. Like the implication is no arms, no legs, no torso, just a head with hands and feet sticking out.
So like a MODOK.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Now that you say it out loud, yeah, they are MODOKs. Every single one of them is a little MODOK.
Okay, I'm back on board with the potato head name.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yay?
Could you replace your... screen name on here then with MODOK butts, please.
Not God. Until we do a MODOK episode.
What fair? You know, MODOK does have that Patton Oswalt animated
yeah,
show.
Yeah, exactly.
That honestly, I watched a couple episodes of, and it was fine, but I could see why it didn't really catch on, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A robot chicken style MODOK show about his family.
Yeah.
You know, not subversive enough somehow.
I just want everybody to know that after the first chunk of this, I wrote, "What did I just watch?" Mm-hmm, which is not something that I routinely do, although I feel like both of you occasionally will drop that one.
I get confused often, although I will listen. We're watching a show this week called Mr. Potato. Well, no, I'm sorry, Potato Head Kids. There's no Mr. about it. Potato Head Kids. We watch two episodes. It's one of those where there are two 10-minute episodes or 11-minute episodes, and then that's how they get the 22 minutes for the half hour loaded with ads. I personally watched this show when I was a kid. Back, it must have been in 1986, so I would have been, you know, fairly still pretty young at the time. Gina, you said you also watched the show?
I like vaguely remember it. Also, I have these things that like I thought were McNugget buddies, but now that I watch this, like you know, oh, like I have these toys on a shelf that I thought were McNugget buddies from the late 80s. But they're not, they're like shorter and squatter. So now I think they're actually Potato Head Kids. I'll send you Absolutely. Guys a photo of them after.
Yeah, we'll need that. Well, the key is McNugget Buddies had one or two like articles with them. Potato Head Kids, you had options, right?
Oh, you're familiar with the toys is what you're saying? Or are you just talking out your ass?
I am a big fan of the McDonald's era McNugget toys from that time period. Yes. I also had the transforming hotcakes and sausage robot. Yes, I did. Thank you.
We all did at some point. Do you still have it?
Maybe at my parents' house. I don't know.
Okay,
we'll find
hang
out someday.
On. I'm gonna post it in the chat. You guys tell me what you think, if you think these are McNugget buddies.
Oh boy, the suspense is killing me.
Or Potato Head Kids.
Those are 100% Potato Head Kids.
Yeah, wow. Those I've been living a lie.
Sherlock Holmes hat wearing tumors.
Yeah,
someone crop that. Put it on the page. That's in my apartment right now.
Yeah, you just posted this picture
exactly.
Not very long ago.
Exactly. And now I feel like I've misled everyone because I specifically said McNugget buddies.
Yeah, no, McNugget buddies were flatter.
I know, because I also had McNugget buddies, but why would I have these toys? McNugget buddies makes way more sense.
McNugget buddies didn't have arms, though. I think that was the dead giveaway, right?
Yeah, you're right. They don't have arms.
See, I know my toys. I know.
Dang.
I know my McDonald's toys.
Once a year,
bring back those McNugget buddies for real.
Once a year, Ray gets something right, and it's hard to imagine. It feels weird. Nobody walks away happy from this.
No, it's a real Ray is right scenario, and that doesn't end well for anybody. There, I am posting it right now as we record
this. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Now everyone
podcast
can...
Facebook group. If you're not a member, go join it. It'll post eventually. I'll probably cut out 20 times in the meantime. Anyway, Potato Head Kids, 1986. I absolutely watched this. I enjoyed it as a kid. I don't, you know, look, my taste as like what was like a 9 or a 10-year-old, not very good. And I am perfectly okay with that. Not all of us are Robert Clark Chan, who, you know, was listening to what, Pantera in 1986 and attending GWAR shows as a small child.
I was not listening to them during their Metal Magic era. No, I was not. Mm-hmm. I was listening to GWAR, I believe, in 1986, although I did not have the gumption to go to a show. I did buy the videotape, though.
Wait, have you ever been to a GWAR show?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I went to one
you.
Just like a year ago.
I thought I remembered something about that. Cool. I mean, that'd be like me never having gone to an Insane Clown Posse show. You know what I'm saying?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that would be outrageous. Who could...
Or Gina never going to, I don't know, a Dominic the Donkey concert.
Hell yeah. Thing. Yeah. Santa's reindeer can't climb the high hills of Sicily. So that's what Dominic the Donkey is for.
Yeah.
I just learned something. I had no idea what that was. And Gina, knowing not only what it is, but helping add more in is phenomenal.
You disgust me. You're also a terrible friend because I post this literally every year for Christmas.
We've discussed this on multiple occasions, Ray.
Dominic the Donkey?
Mostly Gina's unholy obsession with it.
Oh, man. I don't remember. Guys, I might have CTE. I don't remember that. Yeah.
At least once a year, someone who is married to an Italian American person will message me and they'll say, my husband says this is a thing and that you're the person to ask about it, but I refuse to believe him. Can you tell me what Dominic the Donkey is?
So
Nick Gligger and I have talked about it many times.
This makes sense.
That checks out.
Nick Gligger did a great job in Reclaim Detroit, episode one. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is there a cartoon for Dominic the Donkey? We must watch it around Christmas time if there is.
I don't believe there is.
I think
but I will leave
to
it
make to one.
The sage of Dominic, the prophetess, like to fill us in. Surely you've read a Wikipedia article about it, Gina.
One of the things I noticed about Potato Head Kids, because I'm just going to get us right back on track.
There's no point.
Ray
to
hates
it.
Italians, is what I'm taking.
Trash.
As far as Italians go, you've got Tony Soprano, you got Christopher Columbus, you've got TV's Gina Ippolito. One out of three ain't bad. I won't tell you which one. It's Tony Soprano. He's a pretty great character.
You know, sorry, Gina. You're right. I can't. I personally can't wait for the Penguin. Finally, hideous Italian mobsters are getting our day in court.
The Penguin. Guys, did they recast the Penguin as a woman?
No, not that Penguin, although I do love that one, too.
Wait, there's another Penguin?
Yes. Oh, my God. Geez, what is wrong with you guys?
Rogues gallery of.
It's like a fucking hardcore Colin Farrell starring TV show. Coming to HBO. What are you talking about?
No, that's a movie. That's a TV movie based on The Batman with Robert Pattinson and his character in that movie.
Yes. What about what I said doesn't track with what I'm telling you?
Well, I'm talking about. Well, you acted like you were talking about a different character. We're talking in the same genre, but I'm talking like animated movies.
You were talking about the animated cartoon. That's on Amazon. I am talking about The Penguin, which is an HBO original.
What's the Amazon cartoon? I've never even heard
of it. Oh, Chan. It's so great. And also, I think Egon can watch it because it's not. But it feels like a prequel to Batman the Animated Series. It's really good. I've only watched the first three, but it's like it really feels like, oh, shit, this is Batman the Animated Series. Like it's in the same style. People aren't happy because they made some of the girls fatter.
Can you believe they turned the Penguin female and made her less attractive? If I don't want to bang the female Penguin, I can't. I don't want to watch the show.
They made Harley Quinn a little bit thicker, and Chuds online complained.
I feel the same way anytime I watch documentaries. If I don't want to bang the female Penguin, why am I even doing this?
Why are you doing this? Yeah. And if we're just going for it, hey, Andrew Tate got arrested again today.
For trying to fuck a Penguin?
He tried to fuck an underage Penguin.
Yeah, that tracks.
Busted in Romania for that, sir. Go to Antarctica for your travel porn. What does it call it? Sex tourism. That's what it's called. Damn it. I could have really nailed that joke and I came up short.
Travel porn.
Sort of like Andrew Tate. Anyway, Potato Head Kids, ladies and gentlemen. There's like 19 Potato Head Kids. I guess Mr. and Mrs. Potato love to fuck.
No, the Wikipedia page implied that they're not related.
How are they not related? What?
Because I, when they started, when the first episode, started with these Potato Head kids. Great. Okay, we're doing a thing.
Yeah.
And then some human kids started throwing snowballs at them.
It was weird.
My brain was already out the window. I was like, what world are we living in? What is happening here?
Okay. This is the exact wording of the Wikipedia page. First of all, this was a Sunbow show, 1986 and 1987.
Wow. The difference. The different night and day.
You mean because this is so good?
The difference this is between Sunbow of just like two. A year previously.
Yeah.
And this.
The same time as they were making G.I. Joe the movie and season two of with Lowlight. The Lowlight episodes, ladies and gentlemen. And also, if you go across the hall, we're making Potato Head Kids.
They then like re-aired it on CBN Family Channel from 1989 to 1990. But this is what it says. Potato Head Kids was an outgrowth of the Mr. Potato Head character franchise. Mr. Potato Head now played an adult figure in the lives of the title kids.
Yep,
a varied bunch of anthropomorphic potatoes with different personalities. So he is not their dad. He just is an adult in their lives. They clearly have different parents.
Wow,
also, this cast.
Also, since I loved it. I'm assuming.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Wikipedia.
No, don't look at it. I want to tell you a surprise.
Tell me a surprise, Gina.
Okay, Spud. The cowboy hat wearing potato that talks like a cowboy. Yeah. He seems angry. Played by a young Breckenmeyer.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Look at
this cast. It's unbelievable.
Damn it.
Breckenmeyer from Robot Chicken.
Oh my God. Breckenmeyer from Clueless and The Craft. Sure. You shut the fuck up.
Robot Chicken.
Great. There's one person who has some IMDb credits. And who are the other people that you're
But this is crazy because like this was probably like his first role.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I also have Scott Grimes here who does the voice. He does all the Seth MacFarlane stuff. So he did American Dad. He's the son in American Dad. among a variety of other
luminaries.
He's also on The Orville. He's one of those guys. I love it.
Walking down Hollywood Boulevard and seeing the vast array of stars.
Also the voice of Daniel Witwicky, David Mendelhall, who was also in a little movie called Over the Top, Chan. Tell me that doesn't impress you.
The thing that I noticed when I was just glancing over this, Gina was like, hey, each of these little potatoes is a different personality. And I'm looking at the characters. A bonnet-wearing potato. A cowboy hat wearing potato, a beanie hat wearing potato. is that the extent of our personalities?
They wear their personalities.
Listen, in the second one, we find out that one of the chicks is real smart.
A female potato in a green hair bow who is the smartest of the potatoes.
That's a personality. Smart's a personality.
What's her name? What's her name again?
Female green bow potato.
It's Smarty Pants.
Is it really?
It's literally Smarty Pants.
I mean, listen, there's a cowboy who's clearly voting Republican.
Oof.
They've all got personalities. Isn't there one with glasses, or am I thinking of a human kid? There's one human kid with glasses who doesn't look like a bully. I'm going to be honest.
I have a note for that. Absolutely. Yeah.
This whole thing just made me angry, and I get it. Like this is a show that was IP, and
it's
someone
not
threw
that
it
bad. Did you really think it was that bad?
It was fucking abominable.
I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying it's by no means in the bottom, even 20 worst things we've ever done.
Look, it's not the worst, but I would definitely put it in the top 20.
No way. I think you are forgetting everything we have ever done. there's no way it's worse than Rubik, the Amazing Cube.
Look, Rubik's top 10, no question.
I think Rubik keeps sliding further and further off that list the more things we watch. Can I go ahead and make a bold statement right here?
Wait, you think Rubik is getting better?
I think compared to the newer things that we've been watching, you know, was we watch some like absolutely wild things. I think Rubik starts as great as Rubik is. I feel like we keep topping Rubik. Like,
wait, do you think this is worse than Rubik? There is no way.
I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This is a delightful show for delightful people.
Rubik is top 10. This is top 20. There's some tears there.
Man. Okay. We might need to go through the list. Okay. I need you guys with spreadsheets at home who are listening, go through and give us our top 10 worst cartoons that we have watched. I want to see if Rubik makes your top 10. I want to see if Potato Head Kids makes your top 10. You have the chance to just like glance through. Obviously you're on Patreon, so you can glance through the folder and the feed and you can tell us, I want to know what your like top number one worst show we've ever seen is, and give us a top 10 if you feel like doing the work.
There are so many episodes.
I mean,
that's why you skim it.
Well, we just need our spreadsheet. That's all we need. Because seriously, I think I've forgotten a lot of the bad ones. Yeah. I know we did something just a few weeks ago that made me want to kill myself. I can't remember if it was religious or like really slow or something. No,
VeggieTales was surprisingly fun.
Yeah, it wasn't VeggieTales. Yeah, it was something. It was something around the time when we were doing our puppet watch, I think. But it wasn't HR Puff and Stuff. It wasn't Witchy Poo.
You know, I mean, we got the Magic Trolls and the Troll Warriors was pretty rough. Crash Test Dummies, quite honestly.
Okay,
was
Crash
rough.
Test Dummies, definitely one of the worst 10.
You know, I actually thought that was a very funny show.
No, but for me, anything that has that weird computer animation at that time is going to be bottom 10.
You know, Banana Splits show was a pretty recent one.
Can't remember anything about these.
Gina, you were not here when we had Delvin Cox on the show to do Saturday Supercade.
Okay.
In a two-parter, second part on Patreon only. How about that? But that was like, some of those were like, what was the show with the animals at the zoo? Why am I already blanking on? Based on a game that I completely forgot was a game.
Ooh, I know what you're talking about.
And yeah, Roo was the kangaroo show.
Yeah, yeah. There's
called Roo. I don't know. Anyway,
you know what? There's a swath of them that are just forgettable.
Yeah,
and I don't know where you classify those because, like, there's the ones that are truly torturous to watch, and then some of them that are just so nothing that they deserve to be remembered for the nothing that they are.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to proclaim it right now. Chan, you love to go on your runs. I'm going to go through our catalog and I'm going to find what I think are the five worst shows. And then I'm going to pick a second episode of each of those five shows. And we will determine whether they rank top five for you guys. And is it still terrible?
That seems like a lot of work that I am happy that you are doing.
I will do that work so you don't have to.
I don't believe it. I'm sure this will somehow end up falling to Chan just like everything else.
I mean, 50-50.
I am going to say a thing here. And again, I feel bad because I understand what this gig is. It can be hella hard to get something that is... something that is as insanely terrible as an idea as Potato Head Kids. I mean, it's based on a toy which has, you know, so little to build on. And, you know, you're like, hey, make me 23 episodes of entertaining television that sells toys and keeps 5-year-old butts in seats, you know, notoriously short attention spans. So like this job is hard. However, I feel like there are some names that pop up again and again that are associated with maybe not the best stuff that has ever existed in the history of American culture. And I see Doug Booth's name come up a lot in
yes.
this.
Yes, you are totally right. Doug Booth, gainfully employed throughout the 80s and 90s.
And like he was also basically the, maybe not mastermind, but like he was like the top dog for G.I. Joe, the Deke years, if I'm not correct. Mistaken.
We've had him on the show, Chan. We don't got to be weird about it. Like, you know, we have our feelings on Deke era G.I. Joe. And I feel that Doug Booth, first off, phenomenal human being, worked on original G.I. Joe, a really cool guy. He understands our complaints about Deke era G.I. Joe, I believe. And he was very cool with us. When we talked to him and had him on the show, those are great episodes to revisit. This is how you conduct what could have been a very hostile interview in a very charming, fun way with a very charming and fun person. I just want to say that out loud.
Is this what Gina's going to be like in 20 years?
What, like Ray or like Doug Booth?
Like Doug Booth, just being like, look, man, I did some stuff to pay rent that I'm not proud of. Like,
I mean, I'm already like that. You don't need to wait 20 years.
Chan, who do you think is going to replace? It's going to be your kid and my kid and Gina in season 36 of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. And exactly at this point, they're only, and yeah, it's fine. Gina hasn't changed. We're gone.
In 20 years, Luna and Egon are going to come to me and ask me if I'd be willing to host a podcast with them.
100%. 100%. And it's only going to be based on cartoons and shows written by TV's Gina Ippolito. They're going to call it the GI Tracts.
I see what you're trying to do there, but I kind of acknowledge it.
I feel like that kind of needs a Chan punch up. A Chan punch up.
And you guys get on me, but we have to hear 20 minutes of Gina doing this. Is that what I'm correct about?
Well, here's the thing.
Got it.
I'm having to mute myself because somebody's out of bed.
Again?
Supposed to be, so.
Yeah, he wants to interview Gina for GI Tracts.
Is this another solo parenting night for you?
No, it's just that some persons are more than a handful. They're like, and so here we are.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to advance the show because I have a feeling Chan doesn't have too many notes anyway, and at some point we do have to get through it. So near as I could tell based on the intro song, which I definitely want Chan to play some when he gets back. So terrible timing on your part, Mr. Egon. This is a show about potato children falling down and rolling around. That's near as I could tell all they do throughout the entirety of the introduction. Crap, Gina's gone too.
I mean, you would fall fall a lot if you were just a potato, right?
If I had a round body with just two shoes underneath it, I guess they don't really have legs.
Let's be real. You're not that far off from that description,
God
right?
God damn it, Gina. You know what? As I was saying it, the thoughts were coming into my head, and I don't need you to follow up. Okay. Thank you. This episode, look, I've lost some weight. Thank you very much. I used to be an athlete, Gina. You've seen old pictures of me.
Oh, you mean an athlete in the sport that has such luminaries as Rikishi, Typhoon, Earthquake, Yokozuna.
You know I do, and I also know that you love all those people. So don't you even start with me, Robert Clark Chan. Robert Clark Chan, since you're back, can we hear some of this wonderful intro song?
Sweet Jesus. And we're done.
It was great. I love it. I was out of my seat dancing.
I was singing it as I cleaned my apartment.
Underrated banger, Potato Head Kids theme song. I'll put it out there. I'll put it out.
It was it. No, 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 no. It is what it is, all right? For this kind of show, it is the correct music, but it is not good.
Disagree. Agree to disagree. We got snow, ladies and gentlemen. This is an ice episode, which immediately, because I'm thinking Sunbow, I see snow, and I'm like, Arctic Circle? No, it's not the Arctic Circle, unfortunately. It's just wherever these people are.
No shirt on.
Yeah, don't worry about that. You know, times are tough in the Potato Kingdom.
Listen, if you were a potato, would you wear a shirt?
What? No, I'm talking about Quick Kick.
Oh yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about a potato that wasn't wearing enough clothes. Here.
No. I've moved on to a finer Sunbow production.
Yeah, that's great. Best. I love that you refer to G.I. Joe as a finer Sunbow production. How far we've come in 9 years, Robert Clark Chan.
No. Considering how long 9 years is, it was actually pretty slow progress.
I mean, fair enough. We find out that there's a kid named Grease, and he's got a whole gang of ne'er-do-wells, and they start a snowball fight with the potato kids and dump the living crap out of piles and sheets of snow all over the potato children, who are forced to run away. Most notably of these, they've got, of course, a girl. They've got also a big guy who seems kind of dopey. But most importantly, they have a glasses-wearing nerd as part of the gang.
The Grease Gang? Greaser the Gang?
Greaser Gang.
The gang.
With Grease.
I believe there was a sign at some point, and I couldn't tell what it said, but it had like some version of Grease on it and some version of gang on it.
The thing is, Jan, you look at, especially Sunbow era, anything that's written with actual like words, because it was, you know, farmed out overseas, it basically looks like AI wrote it. You're not always going to get proper words, lest we forget many occasions.
Nope, found it. I found it.
Oh boy.
It is, in fact, Grease's gang.
Grease's gang.
Grease's.
Also, they're all redheads too, which makes me wonder if this is set in Boston, snow appropriate, with potatoes and the Irish.
That the potatoes did not have the same parents, but the entirety of Grease's gang were all a large family, fathered by at least the same father.
I think so. I think it's possible. We got a Dudley clan, if you will. Oh. And I would argue that the story of the Potato Head kids is the story of Irish immigrants in the American Northeast back around the turn of the 1900s.
Feels like we're inching towards racism.
Honestly, I was actually kind of impressed that there wasn't any racism in this potato cartoon. Like when
Are
they're
you
doing,
kidding me?
When they're Didn't doing archetypes.
With a bunch of white kids flinging snowballs at brown kids?
Well, listen, first of all, one of them is a cowboy. That is the whitest potato I've ever seen.
Cowboys, Gina.
These are white russet potatoes. Wait, are russet potatoes white?
We're all white on the inside, Gina.
Yeah. White on the inside.
Oh my God! No, I argue it's immigrants because they're poor, obviously because they don't have full clothing outfits. I would argue that they have to stick together because they are just one family, and you know, Mr. Potato Head, while he is the patriarch of the entire family, you know, he has to work where law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Just saying, we're telling stories here.
I'm unclear. There's a coach. There's a female and a male coach in this episode. But in the next episode, there is a person who is called Mr. Potato Head.
Same guy.
It's not clear to me if...
I think it's the same guy.
So there's only one adult male potato in this world.
I'm telling you, they're all part of the same family. Irish, they had a lot of, they're Catholic, had a lot of children. This is the allegory, Chan. You got to follow it.
Is allegory or like road comic hack material?
I mean, you talk to me about reality, Chan. Times were tough back then. So immediately after getting their asses kicked in the snowball fight, one of the Potato Head kids turns to the other and goes, "I think we should call the cops." And immediately I'm like, "You effing narc. How dare you? You handle this yourself, child."
With murder?
Yeah, you would have to murder. Yeah, that's the only... Because their other options are like, I guess we have to move out of town.
Yeah, yeah, they jump like... Okay, granted, I mean, I'm not going to side with the bullies here, But there wasn't a lot of real constructive thought about how to respond from these Potato Head kids.
There was not. But we agree. No running away, though. That's crucial.
But they also, these bullies are not well defined, because
not at all.
The only one I really have a good take on is the main kid, Grease. And then there's like a girl, one that kind of looks like a nerd. Like maybe if there weren't Potato Head kids around, this nerd would be turned on by Grease and his gang.
100%.
But like, there's
he'd be turned on by them.
Yeah. He'd be all horned up.
Yeah. Okay. I'm making sure I understand.
He's sticking Potato Head kids in his butt, is what I'm saying. While the Potato Head kids each have something to differentiate them. The smart one, the cowboy, the Breckenmeyer. Oh, wait, that's the same one.
Chen, why did you put the Potato Head gang in the Who Would Win chat?
Oh, hey, look at that.
Because he wants to know who would win among the Potato Head gang.
Because I have too many windows open.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Anyway, sorry, June, I cut you off. I just noticed that and it killed me.
No, I was just saying, I wish each of these bullies had their own thing, you know?
Okay, there's a, I'm getting a full pan of these. There's Grease, there's the girl, there's a kid with black hair who I assume is the Italian, you know, the really violent one.
Yeah, fair.
That has no morals, and is just the worst. Then there's the big kid, then there's the kid with glasses, then there's a short kid with curly hair who, I don't know, I feel like there's at least three psychopaths in this gang.
Oh yeah, there are some missing animals, if you know what I'm saying.
And none of them have personalities, but also neither do the fucking Spuds.
No, the Potatoes don't really either.
It's weird that this, I mean, I get it, but like it is, it's weird that humans are mixed in with potatoes and the humans are the bullies. And also like in the next episode we watch again, the human is also an asshole. Like the one human in that episode. Like clearly this show was written by potatoes is what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sentient potatoes wrote this show.
This is propaganda. We got to get Doug Booth back to answer these allegations.
This is propaganda, sir. This is potato propaganda. No,
there was move for representation for couch potatoes in the 80s, and this is what we got. Not all potatoes like live on couches.
Hashtag not all potatoes. Potatoes need a plan, as we said before. Their answer to the violence, to the trouble, is let's go and parlay with them. Okay. And let's challenge them to a series of Winter Olympic Games.
Which,
that's awfully left field to me.
Weirdly specific. And also, was this before the Olympics started getting real litigious?
Yes, absolutely. I think this was like back when, you know, it wasn't so easy to copy things. Or maybe, I don't know, that's a good question.
Well, this is right after the Los Angeles Summer Olympics where Russia wasn't allowed to come.
Yeah, but you're not even supposed to use the logo anymore. Like, you can't use the logo, you can't use the music.
We all know this.
I don't think Ray does.
We all
know this.
It shows at IO West.
Yes.
But no, they straight up use the Olympic rings in this episode. You got the five interlinking rings. So, either this was sponsored or in some way they got permission to use the Olympic logo, which
I doubt it.
Or they just hadn't gotten around to starting to sue people for it yet.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think that's probably it. They were probably like, I don't know though. The 80s was also very litigious.
Yeah, but I don't think
maybe they sent them really a bucket of cocaine and said, just let us use it for our potato cartoon. And they were like, all right.
I don't know, man. I feel like if the Olympics sued the Potato Head show, it would be the best thing that could happen for the appeal of the Potato Head show. You know what I'm saying? People would then be talking about the Potato Head show.
And they would be talking about a peel of potatoes, a potato peel. They'd be talking about peeling potatoes, Skins.
I'm prepared to spend the next 40 minutes letting you work this through.
Skins. Okay, hold on. We're gonna I find potatoes appealing. They spud my picket.
Okay, I'm taking back over. How come the Potato Head kids keep referring to Grease's gang as a gang, but the Potato Head kids are not a gang?
They're a club.
It strikes me that they are both a gang.
They have a clubhouse, therefore they are a club. A weirdly monoracial club.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what's referred to as Spud Supremacist. So,
oh, I hate it.
This feels like we're going to end up with like a real American History X kind of ending that I don't know that I'm ready for.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. One other thing that bothers me is the losers of the Winter Olympics between these two groups has to throw a party for the winners. And in my head, I'm like, look at these ne'er-do-well ruffians in Grease's gang. Look how awful they are. Is there any chance in hell they would actually follow through and humble themselves if they lost? 0%. Look, we know where we're going, right? I lost respect for the gang when they actually tried to go through the motions after they lose the Olympics.
They try other options. They're like, how about the losers just like say that we're the best in front of everybody kind of thing. They're like,
or apologize. Nah. Yeah, that was wild.
And then they offer this thing, which Gina asked for, and I guess I got to do.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how about the loser throws a party for the winner? I just love to party.
That was the one girl in Grease's gang.
I mean, she's like a 6-year-old. And the way that voice actor puts some stank on the word party is hilarious to me.
It's great.
I just love to party.
It makes you wonder what kind of party we're talking about. Because as you say, I think they're more like 8 to 10, maybe okay. Even 11 or 12 years old. We're still talking punch and cake kind of parties here. And to say it that way.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. With Ninja Turtles coming right around the corner. Like the idea of partying, dude, was sort of like we were ready for the 90s already based on that one line read alone.
Yeah.
Is what I feel. Now, Chan, all of a sudden, a British gentleman who is never seen before or after this joins the Potato Head Kids. And runs them through a delightful potato song.
I don't understand.
Go potatoes! Go, go potatoes to the top. Push, 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 and never ever stop.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Why is that one British? Is that one British?
It's a fucking Cockney. They watched Mary Poppins and were like, well, how about we make that into an Olympic-themed song? Because I guess to fill time, there was a song. I mean, since there was one in both episodes, I have to assume there was a song in each episode.
Let's safely assume that, yeah.
It's the worst.
And that accent, weirdly enough, later would be copied by Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond. So there you go. A little bit of trivia for you.
Nice. Very IMDb trivia.
IMDb trivia. We're going to start the events now. We're going to start with skating. And the first skater girl for the ruffians, for the Grease's gang, is phenomenal. She grabs two scores of a 93 and a 94. Side question, why are the judges potatoes?
Yeah, you know, it does feel a little unfair, especially because it's Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, who we've determined are not these kids' parents. But still,
they've
got to be a distant cousin.
I feel like they are teachers at the school that all of these kids attend.
They seem like respected adults.
Yeah, and they do seem to be pretty calling it right down the middle.
They're, I would argue, Yeah, they pull the modern media of like, well, we actually have to go too far in one direction to make sure that people don't think we're unfair, because the potato girl starts skating and is doing a very good job as well. One of the ruffians pours grease on the ice to slip her up and make her fall. And what do these two potato judges give her? Double zeros.
I mean, they didn't see it. They didn't see it. Also, how does it work when you're already on a slippery surface and you're wearing ice skates and they pour oil on it? I'm not sure of the science behind that.
Look, I saw people diving and land and do a terrible job. I saw people fall off the balance beam. They still ended up with like twos and threes is all I'm saying. Gonna go straight zero because she fell down. That seems a little harsh.
It does, but it's a cruel world, this potato land. Things are very black and white. You either get a 9.4 or you get a zero. And that's, you know, that's judging. You can't leave it in the hands of the judges.
It's tough. It's tough. And we're going to go on to event two, trick skating, apparently. Doing tricks on the ice, which is different than figure skating.
Duo skating.
Duos, excuse me.
Two of them.
Potatoes do great, 9.5 and 9.6. The bad guys fall down. They get double zeros. So I guess there we go. One to one. I mean,
that's fair. They have the same judging criteria.
We move on to speed skating. Great event. Greasers, obviously, they have legs. They have an advantage. They win. Ski jump. Potatoes win that one.
I'm not honestly sure.
Like,
I think their center of gravity would be a little too weird for this one. Also, I forgot to mention this, but this is in my ongoing thing of redheads in 80s cartoons. This is yet another redheaded bully. A lot of redheaded bullies, a lot of redheads in 80s cartoons. More redheads than exist on Earth, I would argue.
Yeah, A Christmas Story had a redheaded bully, didn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
To be fair, like I was saying, the leader had red hair, but there's a blonde girl. There's a kid with black hair. There's a kid with like brown curly hair. There's a couple others. Like, it's kind of across the spectrum. So
it's a recessive gene, Chan.
It's a rainbow of bully is what I'm trying to say.
Ski jump were 2-2. And honestly, not really. They had a chance to do like comedy bits or something here. And it's usually just like one does good, the other falls down.
It was just like a fucking musical montage to just like get through this. Which, to be fair, there's nothing here. There's no drama that you can impart in 10 minutes. So just whip through these things.
I guess what I'm saying is, what do we got? We have 7 events total, and 4 of them involve skates. And 3 of them involve going downhill.
Have you seen the Winter Olympics?
I assume there's winter kayaking, like backwards through the slaloms, which was delightful. And breakdancing, I hear, is moving over to the Winter Olympics.
Oh, that would make a lot more sense. It's got the slick ground, so you can just breakdance on a frozen lake.
I pay money. I'm not gonna lie, I watched the entirety of both men's and women's break-in, and it was phenomenal. Very upset that it's going away.
Yeah,
we flew too close to the sun, Chan. We flew too close to the sun.
Got in there.
She ended up finishing like 16 out of 32. That's also the wild thing that nobody ever talks about.
So there's worse people than her?
Yeah, she finished in the middle of the pack.
Wow. Wow.
And yes, she did not do a good job, but it was kangaroo themed. So, you know what? I give her a lot of credit.
All right.
Takes a lot of stones. Anyway, hockey. We're playing hockey now. It's 3-2. The 3-2. The good guys, the potatoes are up. The bad guys try changing their 2 into a 12. Mm. Get shoinked right out of town.
Yeah, not the most subtle.
No, but, it's,
you know, you
bad.
Do what you gotta do.
Toboggan, they both run down side by... I understand toboggan. Can't we time them? Why are they going side by side?
I mean, look.
Seems dangerous.
We've only got 10 minutes to tell a story.
Fair enough. The bad guys shove the toboggan off the track, so they're up there. It's tied 3-3, which means the deciding event is the downhill slalom, just like we wrote it. Chip versus Grease, leader versus leader. Everybody's like, Chip, we got to do this. Grease is like, I'm doing this too. And the bad guys decide to try to trip. They have rope between two rocks, and they're going to try to trip the Chip. But he jumps over it. They trip Grease, who, quite frankly, based on the position of the hill where they tripped him, was already going to lose. So he shouldn't really be mad at them for tripping him. He had already failed to win the event, but he's pissed.
Sure.
4-3 potatoes. Potatoes win the series. And somehow, as I said before, I lose respect for them. The bad guys follow through and throw a party seemingly an hour later for the potatoes.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that men can't cater? What point are you trying to make here?
You know, I mentioned Andrew Tate earlier.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he has a very bold point.
Are you the sort of person
that men should not learn how to cook or in fact be interested in food in any way other than to provide fuel for your body? I would argue that he's in jail for molesting kids, so maybe we shouldn't take his word on things.
Maybe not.
Listen, if molesters can't be trusted, then we're going to have to throw out all art, TV show, and music.
To throw out at least one of the hosts of the show.
Guess which one?
Not going to say who.
Guess which one, everybody.
Not the one you think it is. Right?
Honestly, I feel like if you polled the audience, it would fall about 33 and a third percent for each of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could see this being any one of us. I mean, yeah. Ray is a weird white dude. Yeah. Chan is the kind of very quiet guy that on the news someone would be like, I didn't know much about my neighbor. I just know he was quiet and often looked angry. Nice. And I've already talked a lot about how I have boys in my basement.
Yeah.
The thing is, and I've known this since day one of us starting this show, Gina has been keeping an eye out, maybe two eyes out, for some information about me to drop that she just expects to see coming. That has never materialized, but she's still ready for it at the drop of a hat anytime.
Well, yeah, we live in Hollywood where that sort of thing happens pretty regularly.
I'm telling you right now, Gina's just waiting for the excuse that I cannot give her.
It's true. I'll get it eventually.
I mean,
sounds
if that's
like a threat, what is happening?
If that's what keeps you on the straight and narrow, you know.
That's true. I like to be a constant threat to people.
I have a very, very terrible things to say. Okay, so the bad guys can't keep up the charade. They drop ice cream sodas on the potato's head, and this whole thing devolves into a food fight. Okay.
It is weird, yes, that they are serving them because it doesn't seem like the sort of thing they would do.
Not at all.
They would agree to.
Yeah,
not at all.
I mean, here the only thing that sort of saves this because I was like, oh, why? They absolutely would have backed out of this. Like, there's no way. But the only thing that sort of like makes it believable is that they dump the ice cream on the kid's head, like. They can only handle it for so much. But I guess like there is a possibility that in Kidland, a verbal contract is very important. So they don't renege on it. But then when it comes time and they're so fed up, they're like, you know what? Let's throw food at these fucking potatoes.
Having a kid myself, verbal contracts are garbage and meaningless when it comes to children.
Well, kids these days, but kids in the 80s were actually good.
Yeah, when we hit them, they listened. Am I right, Gina?
Our day, our kids had morals.
Oh my God. Upstanding
individuals. it's the dramatic structure of it that I just find weird. But then all of that just goes to absolute shit.
Yes.
When we realize that the party is taking place on a frozen lake.
It is on a frozen lake, and the ice begins to break, and the children begin to fall in to the frozen lake.
Who are being chaperoned by adults,
yes,
have a party involving food and furniture, mm-hmm, on a frozen,
yes, yes,
lake.
They set up a malt shop, basically, on top of a frozen lake that is not very well frozen.
I assume they all died. The second that one kid goes under, I wrote, oh, they're dead.
So the giant obese child falls in. Grease and the nerd both fall in. A couple of the McNuggets, excuse me, potato head kids fall in. Cowboy Potato falls in, Gina. How did that make you feel?
I mean, I knew that he had to survive because he needs to go on to star in Clueless. So
fair enough. Grease has fallen in. Maybe.
He needed to be written out of the season for that very reason.
That's true.
I will say, looking at the IMDb, Brecken Meyer only made it for like 11 of the episodes. Everybody else was there for like 16. Everybody there, I'm sorry, everybody there was 23 episodes, but Brecken Meyer was only there for 15. So your theory is with merit.
He's the only star. He, at some point, he was like, I'm going to be a star. I'm going to be a tiny, tiny star. He's a very small man.
Pretty great. Yeah, very talented. Very talented.
Aren't you like 3.5 feet tall, Gina?
Yeah, but I only date dudes over 6 feet. So I notice when a man is small, women are supposed to be small.
Is this the Simone Biles, LeBron James picture all over again?
Yeah.
I have literally nothing to add to that whatsoever. Grease has fallen in. Chip tries to say, give me your hand. Grease is like, go fuck yourself. I'd rather die, asshole. And then Chip's like, don't be a piece of shit. Just give it to me. Okay. He pulls him out.
Only when he promises not to tell anybody.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. Yeah.
What the hell? If these were grown-ass men and this were like some like Dolph Lundgren vehicle in the 80s, I could buy it. Like, no, I refuse. I'd rather... These are fucking 9-year-olds.
No, like, that's who has the weirdest pride.
I will die because, well, I've led a full life. I might as well just pack it in right now.
I don't think he realizes he'll die, though. I think, like, to kids, it's just like, oh, no, this is like a minor inconvenience and I'm embarrassing myself. But to them, you know, like, I would have loved it, though, if this potato head kid was like, I promise I won't tell anyone. And then like immediately turned around and was like, I had to hoist this fat pussy out of the ice. He couldn't do it himself.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I like your rewrite. I like your rewrite better.
It seems like the sort of thing that potato would do.
Yeah. Even though we're not supposed to talk about it, Grease is now totally cool with them and they're all best friends. Grease has seen the true meaning of Christmas, and that's the end of the episode. That's it.
Again, like, you only have 10 minutes to tell the story, but Jesus, there's so much
a
stuff
lot in.
You didn't need to be in there, that you could have like left to tell, I don't know, a story. It is what it is.
There is another story I think you could have chosen to tell with some of the same send up, but they did not.
Nope.
They chose not to.
They chose violence.
They chose violence in the worst ways. And speaking of choosing violence, I am going to choose the sponsors of this show to have a moment to speak to you. So we're going to be right back. Did you like those ads?
That was just so Ray could take a poop.
Can you...
I had to really take a poop, you guys.
If you're listening right now, can you tweet at us if, in fact, Ray remembered to put in that ad break?
Look. How like dare you, first off.
Pause, and then we jump right back in.
What are you talking about? We listened to all the commercials here together.
Uh-huh.
And the bumpers.
Find sponsors all. Go and purchase their product and or service.
I am a big fan of that product. and or surface.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Emergency! Our prisoner escaped!
New Rebel Transport holds up to 42 action figures, each sold separately, some assembly required.
You'll never get me, Rebel Commander!
You can't escape, Imperial TIE Fighter pilot.
Didn't find the lasers. Good. Backpacks and gas masks are safe. That means he's hiding in the escape hatch.
You knew where I was. Oldest trick in the book.
New Rebel Transport, some assembly required. Action figures each sold separately from Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Non-zero chance it was a McDonald's ad, and I just blew your mind. Part two, the second episode that we watched, The Case of the Fouled Up Pharaoh. You ready to go to Egypt, everybody?
The original, of course, was the case of the fucked up Pharaoh. This was a Quentin Tarantino penned episode of Starsky and Hutch that was repurposed later when standards and practices.
I was shocked how many times the Potato Head kids said the N-word in this episode.
Yeah, it was
really strange.
Really upsetting. I'm not going to lie.
The number of times we saw potato feet, that seemed about normal.
Yeah, it's weird because we always get potato shoes, but never potato feet.
Yeah.
And now we know why, because we've seen them. Oh, my God.
All those wiggly little fingerling potatoes.
Also, so this episode is a Scooby-Doo episode. Let's just keep it real. This is a Scooby-Doo episode they decided to make as a Potato Head Kids episode. And in my head, the case of the fouled up Pharaoh, suddenly this is a detective show. This is just what we do every week. You can't put the case in front of something unless that's your deal, right?
I don't know how to approach this because, yes, it is 100% a Scooby-Doo episode, which is fine. You can do that. It's not doesn't necessarily have to be genre specific, I guess, but it did feel real shoehorned in. You could have just told a story about going to the Egyptian exhibit or going to the museum and some wacky stuff happens. You didn't have to have a bad guy with a mustache wearing
Anubis.
I mean, this was a straight up rejected Scooby-Doo episode or a real Scooby-Doo episode. Truly, that's what this is, right? This is them being throughout the episode, I was like, oh, it's kind of cool that all of a sudden this show is supernatural and there's a fucking Egyptian god trying to kill these Potato Head kids.
Honestly, I'd be here for it if it was that.
Exactly. But it just turned out to be another greedy dude.
I mean, it turns out, Gina, all monsters in this world are just greedy rich dudes.
But I hate it. I wanted him to really be Anubis and I wanted him to be a Potato Head children are an abomination against the gods.
That would have been the problem is the world makes no sense as it is.
you're saying that would be a hat on a hat.
Yeah. If we had made the world this way, that would have been fine. And if, episodes just had weird magical stuff happening. Sure. This is a show that comes on after My Little Pony. Why not? But the fact that they try and ground it one episode and then go to this another episode. if it were Anubis, that would be more realistic than what actually happens.
Let me just say for the record, though, I have given one Robert Clark Chan a tough time on this show with the choice of episodes that he has made. Instead of starting with a pilot, he picks episode 24 where they're suddenly in virtual reality or something, right? It's odd, DuckTales. The point I'm trying to make with all of this is you have chosen, Robert Clark Chan, two excellent definitive episodes of Potato Head Kids to give us a lot to talk about. I want to commend you for your choices this week.
I am pretty great.
It only took you 9 years.
I feel like I really hit my stride around year 7.5, but you know, different strokes.
You're not wrong. So we start off in their classroom where the teacher has, I've never heard of this before. We're going to the museum today, half of you have to turn in a paper overnight as a group tomorrow. The rest of you have until next week to get your stuff together.
It's a very weird bit of exposition that makes what? No sense.
Unnecessary. It does. Why?
Is also, it just does it come show? Into play at all?
No. It's just like they drew a schoolroom full of kids and we're like, well, how do we justify that the only six of the kids got?
Oh, you know, my God, like, you're right. It's an exec note.
Yeah.
It also, it adds a certain time pressure that they are at the museum and they have to find something. So they have to push a little bit harder because it's due tomorrow.
But all you have to do is say like, hey, don't forget your thing's due tomorrow. Oh shit, we forgot. And we got to go do it like right now. That would make sense because
that would have been great.
It's character driven, but instead it just makes the teacher look like a stone cold bitch.
She looks terrible because like,
you kids are wonderful. You get a week. You have until tomorrow to put together a report that I never told you about. And you have to research it at a museum that closes like an hour after school gets out.
I will point out two things right now. One, the fact that this is a group project with all of the Potato Head kids lends credence to the idea that they are all related and living in the same house together, because how else would they get it together overnight? But two, there's only potatoes in this schoolroom. There are no normal children who we've already established exist in this world. Mm-hmm. Is this a segregated potato school?
Oh, shit.
Not segregated, but it's like, or I mean, you might not know, but like I could send my kid to Chinese language school to better, you know, have a better connection with his heritage kind of thing. So I guess here it's like an after school thing where they teach the value of potato culture, tot life.
And Chan, my kid is in dual language, so we have done that.
But is it an after school thing though, or is it during school?
It's an all day school thing.
Right. This would be like a thing you would attend on the weekend or after school.
This struck you as an after school program? I thought it struck me as just being part of school.
Absolutely not. I am trying to dig Doug Booth out of a hole here, but man, he made it deep.
We call it made a deke.
Wow. Mm. I see what you did there. That was wordplay.
Not bad. Okay. So half of you next week, we go to the museum. Who cares? We're going to the museum and they see a lot about this episode upset me. Okay, you guys.
Yeah, this one was worse than the last one. I don't know if it was because like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like maybe because I like snow and things like that. I like Egyptian shit too, but I really didn't like the ending of this. I didn't like that the guy who is weird from the beginning ends up being the weird, creepy guy at the end.
You mean the only human in the episode.
We got 10 minutes to get this shit, knock it out.
But okay, they get to the museum. They find a pharaoh's sarcophagus. Cool. An Egyptian bust with a necklace on it. Great. Japanese armor. Amenhotep the 15th. And then I love this character work, quite honestly, because the museum curator guy, who's the only human in the episode, he's like, it's Amenhotep the 15th. And the smart potato girl goes, it's the 14th, actually. And they go to the statue. He's like, he's like, fuck you. No, it's not. I work here. And to her credit, he should have known this. They get to the statue. It says the 14th. And he's just like, everybody out of my goddamn museum. I'm out. He fucks right off. He leaves. He leaves the tour. And there are 10 minutes to go before they close. I've never heard of this timing. I've never heard of a tour guide who gets corrected about one thing that he quite frankly should have gotten right. And then just leaves the kids to their own devices in anger.
I will say that originally it seemed like just shoddy writing, but the fact that then revealed that he's trying to steal some shit, it makes sense. Either like he doesn't know things as well as an actual museum docent would. And also he really doesn't want to be there. He's
busy casing the joint. He's busy.
Trying to frame the kids? Because like, why the second that he realizes the kids are still in there, wouldn't he be like, oh, well, shit, they're going to see me rob the place. I should wait until tomorrow night when there's no kids. Or like maybe the original idea for the episode was like, oh, he's going to try and say that, like, because the kids do fucking like the little potato head colonizers that they are. They do touch all these priceless artifacts and put them on and then like party it up. So I could maybe buy if he was like, oh, look, these stupid little shits are getting their greasy potato fingers all over priceless artifacts that we stole. So I can pretend that one of them misplaced or stole the things that I'm going to steal. Maybe that was it. Am I giving it too much benefit of the doubt?
Yes. Look, a few things we've noticed character-wise, right? The potato, to your credit, yes, they're little shits. If you leave them unsupervised, remember one of the Potato Head kids knocks over an entire statue, which is about to shatter, thousand of year old statue. And to his credit, the curator cares about this art. He dives to the ground to catch it and save it.
I mean, to be fair, he's planning on stealing it later that night. So
yeah, but
not that particular piece, though. It's just the necklace. You know of.
Also, these kids are ISIS.
These kids are ISIS.
They're destroying shit.
You mean like
these kids are such ISIS that Donald Trump invited them to Camp David on the anniversary of 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah, that's real, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know.
The kids go to the pyramid.
I don't.
There is a real. What is this? I assumed it was a set. It seems like it's an actual pyramid that is about 5 feet tall. There are hieroglyphics painted inside of it. What is this pyramid?
It says like on the outside, doesn't it say like replica or something or like fake? It says something.
No, it says pyramid Oh, no, it does say pyramid model. Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
I have been more confused about a pyramid's motivation since Silent Hill 2.
It is weird, though, that there is, full on
that was awesome. Egyptian I don't care.
Paintings and whatnot.
I don't care if you moved on. That was awesome.
I am not listening to you, Ray. Not even a little bit.
So here's where, okay. You guys have talked about it already. The curator, I don't have a name for him. He does not have a name.
Do not care.
But he is planning on sticking around after his shift is over. He knows there's one Mr. Potato Head security guard working in law enforcement, Irish amalgam, just saying. And he's going to steal something. The necklace seems to be his target based on later events. And he's insistent that everybody leaves the museum, except he doesn't like look it in to the six Potato Head kids. He's there when he kicks everybody out.
Yeah.
Can't notice he's missing six potato children.
Yeah.
He probably thought they were kitchen snacks.
He may have mistaken them for other potatoes.
Exactly. He's like, oh, that's tomorrow night's dinner.
Is he potato racist? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, he can't tell potatoes apart.
They all look the same to me. I thought they were all the security guard. I break down, what is his motivations? He's trying to steal. He's expecting a museum one-on-one after he sneaks back in with the potato cop who doesn't know he's there. He's going to dress as Anubis. Great costume. Great idea. I picked it out right away. It made me happy when they called him out as Anubis. I felt like I actually knew something.
There was one teeny tiny redeeming spark of inspiration in this one.
Yeah. But his plan was to Scooby-Doo this, dress as Anubis, incapacitate the guard, steal a bunch of shit, and leave, right?
I think it's like the best I can figure is that he's hoping that Mr. Potato Head security guard is like, Anubis came out of nowhere and hit me. And then everyone's like, oh, this guy's crazy. Now we'll never find out what happened to those jewels. I guess that's why he's
in this world, 100% everybody believes in mummy curses. So
yes, 100%.
If his plan had gone off, I think he would have gotten away with it scot-free. Everyone would be like, well, that's what we get for raiding that mummy tomb and dragging it all around the U.S. here.
You're right. Yeah. Does the show... Here's my question. Is the show trying to fool us as to the identity of Anubis? I think the answer is no, but they still act like it's a reveal at the end. Because he does the same laugh to the camera as the other character, you know, the human version did, like 30 seconds earlier, almost to tip his hand. But then at the end of it, they still act like it's a Scooby-Doo reveal.
I feel like kids are
stupid,
dumb enough. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're dumb, but there's one human being in the episode.
No, I think kids are dumb. And for like the ones that aren't, they'll feel superior because they solved it.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I did feel a little superior when I realized that Anubis, it took me a couple minutes, but I did notice he was the only human in the episode. So the pyramid, again, I just wrote, this is not a prop. It's a real pyramid with real hieroglyphics written inside of it, revealing an ancient curse.
It is a pyramid model. We have established that through screenshots.
I don't believe that. It's a real pyramid.
It does not make sense why there is actual art inside it.
Well, Anubis is here. He ties up the guard in bandages. He dresses the one potato head guard as a mummy and throws him in a sarcophagus. Kind of baller. Not going to lie.
It was pretty cool.
I like that. This is when I suddenly realized, okay, side note, I thought the teacher was giving each of them individual reports to write. I did not understand that it was a group effort until this moment in the show.
Oh, do
when
you
they're
think
all saying our report? I go, oh, okay, it's a group project. We're cool.
You think that's going to be easier to round up six fucking children to write a report between all of them?
Look, it's improbable, sure. The whole deal is, unless these six kids live in the same house together, there's no way they write a group project together pre-internet in 1986 unless they're a family. I don't know. Like this, it really bothers me, you guys.
You know what? I kind of agree with you.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Is this the episode where Ray's right a bunch of times and everyone agrees with him and we have to cancel the show?
No.
And weirdly, it seems to be over issues of prejudice and racism. Gina's on the other side somehow.
I mean, obviously. She celebrates Columbus Day.
Oh, good point.
It's my people. Oh, my Italian people.
What was that?
I don't know.
It was phenomenal.
Gina pulled an accent, but what is the accent?
I'm going to let you guys figure that out.
Was that her Sylvester Stallone? Is that a Rocky?
I'd say hashtag, except we're not on that site anymore. So threads us with after your comment, no hashtag needed. What was Gina's accent? Threads used to get hashtags. I'm sorry.
Lord Moxford, we need your help here.
Yeah, I need some help with that. And listen to it as many times as you need to. Make it your ringtone even. It's fine. It's fine.
We promise not to sue you.
At this point, the Potato Head kids realize they are locked in. This is Night at the Museum. Pre-Night at the Museum. They are locked in. So the first thing they say is, we are locked in the museum and can't get out till the morning. Let's steal as much shit as possible.
Yeah.
They are the bad guys of this episode.
I'm not going to lie. If this happened to me, I would go straight for the snack bar. I do not care about on like museum antiquities. I would be like, yo, let's check out that gift shop and get the candy.
Are you? That's familiar? Why there's locks on the candy boxes, but not the necklaces. You know what I'm saying?
The quality of museum food, by and large, cafeteria grade.
Oh, boy.
Listen, when you're a kid, cafeteria grade is pretty damn good.
But you're an adult now.
No, I would still do it. I still think about cafeteria food from time to time. I really liked those freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
You know, there is an old axiom that says the art in restaurants is roughly akin to the food in museums. Not bad. Think about it. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I like that. I like that a lot. I didn't write it. I wish I could say I did. Okay, they steal the necklace. They find out it's cursed. And so then they walk around and inexplicably, they are pilfering the entire museum for fun and profit. And they rationalize every single ounce of it. And I got real upset. I got real upset that these pretend potato head kid treasures in the museum were being just destroyed, violated, worn as jewelry by potato children. I got real upset that these priceless treasures were being just soiled. It really did make me mad.
They're going to smell like potato forever now.
Forever. They're going to smell like one of those cars that uses restaurant oil for gas.
Ew.
This is honestly, yes, a little distressing. Later in the episode, it becomes a full-blown fucking issue.
Oh, yes. Listen, we like on G.I. Joe episodes to point out when they are blowing the hell out of priceless artifacts, treasures, and monuments. Much like the opening of Team America World Police, which I assume is a parody of that exact concept, right? Mm-hmm. This is like 9/11 on historical artifacts. It's not good.
Not what I would have gone with as a metaphor. I would have said
Hiroshima.
Like the Nazis committing genocide on the Jews in World War II.
Why did I think you were not going to be worse? Why did I think that? I don't know why I thought that. I should know better by now.
That's not what I thought because I've heard it's a hoax and that there's no evidence.
Ooh, okay.
How am I the most reasonable person after making a 9/11 reference?
Gina's just asking questions, Ray. I don't think
I'm just saying, do your own research.
Oh my God. Well, thanks for coming to the final episode of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. The one where everyone agrees with Ray and he's the least worst one on the show. We'll never get better than this. I almost just want you to pull it here, but don't. Anyway, let's get to the song. Let's just get to the song where they imagine being Egyptian.
All right, that's enough of that.
That's not problematic at all. She just wants her own barge.
Listen, in the 1980s, the United States' infatuation with Egyptian culture really came to a head. This is where you got the walk like an Egyptian dance.
Loved it.
That was much earlier.
We got Steve Martin's King Tut song.
Loved it.
I wish I had a third reference, but I do not.
Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee hit theaters in like 85.
This checks out. All treasured Egyptian cultural icons.
Yeah. This episode upset me a lot in many different ways.
As an Egyptian person?
As an Egyptian man myself, I use as a conservative commentator's alt account that he forgets to log into. I did not care for these depictions. Look, Anubis shows up and he wants the jewelry. He wants that necklace. That's why he's here. The kid's gotta run. And one of the Spud is his name. He shows up dressed in the full Japanese armor with a sword and straight up drills Anubis.
Yeah.
Straight up crumps him.
This is where it starts. Like the whole song, they do like this sort of montage thing where they're, you know, like, I'm the queen of the Nile. And it's sort of like a dream like sequence because, you know, they're like traveling all over Egypt. So they're probably not doing a whole lot of damage. But starting at that point where they're running from Anubis, Spud puts on the full Japanese armor set and clocks him. Then we jump on like a Da Vinci flying machine that is like a helicopter.
Yes, they do. It is a Da Vinci flying machine to get away as they are just torching every piece and every artifact that they come across.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
At this point, one of them, like, they're like hanging on. There's seven of them on this flying machine. One of them falls off into the Chinese exhibit and disappears. I'm like, Jesus Christ, whatever is going to result from this. And we don't find out
never find out.
No, we do way, way at the end. And it's,
he got turned into scallion pancakes.
Delicious scallion.
I love
sounds good.
I really love scallion pancakes.
I question, based on the fact that they are the only potatoes, near as I could tell, in a world of humans, except there are potatoes everywhere. They hide plain sight wearing costumes. There are three exhibits. There's two exhibits with a gap in between. Humans in costumes, wax figures. Humans in costumes on the left, wax figures. And then potatoes, the exact thing Anubis is looking for. He should know as the curator, there are no potato-based exhibits. And it fools him. I got real angry again at this bit.
Not great. However, I will say that the whole point of potato heads is putting costumes on them.
You know what? Okay.
So it would make sense that the engine of this cartoon was like, hey, let's find different ways and excuses to put different costumes on these
patatas,
bloated ass nuggets.
I'm sorry, what was that, Gina?
Patatas.
Ah, excellent. I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly.
That feels don't know,
very dirty. It felt dirty, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it.
So the potatoes pile into a Viking boat, a Viking ship. The nerdy lady potato starts telling them about Pharaoh's wife and some important piece of the puzzle they're missing, and they just take off. They do not want to hear about anything smart, and they pilot the boat through the hallways.
Because if you're running away from someone, the quickest way for seven corpulent potatoes to escape is to climb into a Viking boat in the middle of a museum and start rowing.
I would point out there's no water here.
Nope.
They just run their way through the hallway on this boat by rowing. And then they go down a flight of stairs. And this is fine.
Just absolutely destroying this Viking longboat.
I'm no Viking like Ken Bjorn Turner, but I have to believe you need water to operate a boat with oars. I will need a second opinion on that.
This Viking longboat, my apologies, this is when potato falls into the Chinese exhibit. The rest of them crash their longboat into
Romans.
The Roman busts, which notoriously tough and not at all fragile.
To the chariots, let's go. Let's have a chariot race.
Let's get out whips and whip one of our friends/siblings.
Yes.
To make them go faster.
Yes.
Seems a bit excessive, but
we are going places now.
I don't have siblings, so I don't know if that's normal or not.
I have siblings. It is, in fact, normal, and I feel very guilty about it years later.
Fair enough.
And also, a thing I noticed just now, it's been happening for 20 minutes up to this point, but potato is their battle cry?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
What would you yell if you were a potato?
Spud Life.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I would shout Spud Life and put on a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah. I'd yell, let's fry them.
I wouldn't yell potato. Like, if I'm about to, like, if me and my, like, soccer team are about to hit the pitch and we're about to play a game, I don't go, okay, hands in. Humans on three. One, two, three, humans! It's just not what I would do.
Well, sounds like someone's not proud to be a human.
Many times I am not. Not gonna lie. Okay. So we crashed the chariots again, destroying priceless, just over and over again, we are destroying priceless artifacts.
Yeah.
To go to an Eskimo exhibit in the snow, Gina, with an igloo, Gina. You love the snow. How do you feel about this?
I think I stopped paying attention at this point.
Yeah.
You are better than I. Anubis rips one of the cubes out of the igloo to reach in Jason Voorhees style and grab the necklace. But, Chan, why don't you tell us what the guy from the Chinese exhibit did?
Well, first off...
Excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. But yeah. Go ahead and take over anyway.
They turn on a snow machine, which releases an avalanche of snow through the museum.
Doesn't make sense.
Into the Egyptian exhibit, which, you know, like, who wouldn't want to just dump a sarcophagus in a bunch of frozen water? It will eventually melt and warp and destroy the wood. That knocks out the poor mummified Mr. Potato from the sarcophagus. Then in comes flying that missing potato on a Japanese kite.
I love that, but quickly, Anubis is stopped because one of the kids grabs the skin of a polar bear, puts his hand in like Kermit the Frog, and chomps his arm.
Sure.
Now mummy cop, potato head cop, is walking around dressed like a mummy, not sure what's going on, disoriented. This is where we get Samurai Demon Kite.
Bear in mind, of course, that they got left in a Chinese exhibit.
Samurai, famously Chinese, Jan. What are you talking about?
Well, and yes, the mask is pulled off.
The Ronin, the ninjas, daimyos, classic Chinese culture.
Oh, hey, here's something I didn't notice. This guy's been in brown face the whole time. I guess brown body, because they pull off the Anubis mask and he's still got the white face, which means that all his uncovered arms and legs are, he got fucking brown shoe polish and covered himself in it.
It's for a skin-tight bodysuit.
He could be wearing Kobe Bryant, you know, leggings for all we know. Not that that was done in 86.
Yeah. They had that kind of shit back then.
They did not. Also, reveals happen around, but Anubis did not have to self-own himself here. He straight out, like, they take off his mask, and he could have said, I knew you potato kids were still in the museum. I needed to go incognito because I knew you were going to fuck shit up, which you did. That would have worked. Instead, they take off his mask, and he says, I was planning to steal all these priceless art.
He would have foiled me. He would have stolen that necklace and cost, you know, the museum hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It would have been a lot, but
the amount of damage these fucking potatoes did must be in the tens of millions minimum.
Minimum. Priceless artifacts. Things you cannot replace.
But how many snacks did they eat?
None. Again, Gina, they lock off the snack bar, but not the Egyptian necklace area.
Well, then I changed my mind. This is the worst cartoon we've ever watched.
Wow, there it is. Number one with a bullet.
At least the last episode ended with food.
True.
How would you feel about snacking if you yourself were a snack?
Oh,
I'd love it. I'd be so into it.
So if you were...
Chan, nope, Chan, we don't need to break this down any further. This is going to cover some ground we don't want to tread.
Fair.
group of wartime.
They end up being the reasonable one here.
I don't know.
I'm concerned.
This is the weirdest episode of this show we've ever done.
Top 20, at least.
Guys, I'm going to punch myself in the head repeatedly before next episode to keep us back on track.
Is that what Gina meant by doing punch-ups?
Assuredly. I'll move the September 26th to September 24th, a Tuesday.
Okay.
I will leave the Christy Marks episode.
Word.
I will edit this. Christy Marks. No Chan. Okay.
No Chan in hell. You got.
Oh, my God. Puppets. It's my favorite part of that song. Me and my homeboys, we'd always be watching it, and Vince McMahon be walking to the ring, and we'd be grooving. All of a sudden, we would all just turn to each other and go, puppets! That was pretty delightful. Anyway, you guys want to do a show?
Not really.
Man, I should have known better than to ask that. Well, I know it's going post-credits now.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.